Sometimes on this journey, I get lost in my mistakes. What looks to me like weakness is a canvas for your strength. And my story isn't over, my story's just begun. And failure won't define me, 'cause that's what my father does.
Good morning. Want to welcome you to the Boone's Mill Church of the Brethren today as we come together to celebrate Father's Day. We want to welcome all of you, and for visitors, we certainly are happy for you to be here. We welcome all of you. Our message today is Blessed Father's Day. Have any of you read the book entitled Men Are from Mars and Women Are from Venus? I see some heads shaking, yes, that you have. The book is a counseling book on relationships with the premise that men and women speak a different language. That as men are talking, women don't always understand what they mean. And the same true with women. Well, basically, the book simply emphasizes that what men say and what men mean are two different things. And so the same is true for women, as I say. But since today is Father's Day, ladies, please allow me to translate for you some phrases that men say and then give you the interpretation so that you'll know what they mean. When a man says it would take too long to explain, he means I have no idea how it works. When a man says, take a break, honey, you're working too hard, he means, I can't hear the game on the TV over the vacuum cleaner. When a man says, that's interesting, dear, he means, are you still talking? When a man says it's a guy thing, he means there is no rational thought pattern connected with this, and it really makes no sense. When a man says, can I help with dinner? He means, why isn't it ready yet? When a man says, sure, honey, he means absolutely nothing. It's just a response that he's been conditioned to say. When a man says, oh, don't fuss, I just cut myself, it's no big deal. What he means is, I probably need stitches, but I will bleed to death before I admit that I'm hurt. When a man says, you look terrific, he means, oh, please don't try on one more outfit. We're already late trying to get ready to go, and I'm starving. When a man says, I'm not lost, I know exactly where we are. He means, only God knows we may never be seen alive again. When a man says, that's not what I meant. He means, if something I said can be interpreted two ways, and one of the ways make you angry, I meant the other one. Oh, well. Today is Father's Day, and we do have trouble, sometimes men, communicating what we really mean when we say things. But today is a special day to honor dads. It seems to me that Father's Day, you know, it's not as big a deal as Mother's Day, because on Mother's Day, mothers often, they are given flowers and chocolate and gifts, and the emotions run high, and well, that's because we pay honor to the hands that rock the cradle. But on Father's Day, emotions are not quite that high. Certainly businesses do not profit as much from Father's Day as they do Mother's Day. Maybe not quite, we're just not quite as sentimental about Father's Day, because most fathers aren't as sensitive to children's need and lift them up the way mothers do. And so, not being sentimental, maybe we don't receive back the same kind of sentiment. I'm not sure about that, but I'm glad today is Father's Day. It gives us a chance to honor those who stand at the helm and who lead their family through life's battles. In a book written by James Dotson called Dare to Discipline, he says, good fathers are made. They are not born. Good fathers is not just something instinctively that men have. It's something they learn. And then he goes on to suggest there's three specific things for a father to keep in mind. And number one is that children oftentimes follows in the footsteps of their fathers. During the earliest years of a child's life, he or she probably spends most of the time, a good deal of the time, with the mother. But as they grow and as they stretch and with the passing of years, there comes a change, and fathers often become the example in attitude and actions that a child follows. Like it or not, the example that a father sets about God and about the church and about spiritual things, that will make an eternal impression upon a child's life. And oftentimes they will follow that. And that's the reason often we see a lot of women that are deeply devoted to the church, and sometimes the father's a little detached, and we find that children become detached from the church as they grow too, because they see that as an example. The father should be the spiritual leader in the home and should demonstrate that. The second thing that Dobson suggests is that the best thing a father can do for his children is to love their mother. Next to his own close and personal relationship to God, a father's top priority should be to love his wife. Paul tells the Ephesians husbands, and he's telling us, these scriptures speak to us, that we are to love our wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for it. So to love your wife means to give yourself. This is one of the things I often find in counseling with couples, is that the problem with love is that it's always, I want, give me, give me, give me, or to take. She's not doing this, he's not doing that. But in love, it's what you give. Love is how you give, and it's not with thinking of getting something in return. Love is to give of yourself as Christ gave himself totally up for the church. So we see that in our reading of scripture this morning. If there is that kind of love in the family where you give and you sacrifice, then that home is blessed indeed. Here's the third thing that a Christian father will do. He will arrange time to spend with his children. Now, for you that may be fathers, I can't say without a doubt that being a good father and a good husband is the most challenging responsibility that we can ever face. If you're like most men, even those who may have had a poor or harmful experience with their own father, we are encouraged to be, and we want to be, a good father. But to be a good father, you need a model, an example of a father that you can pattern yourself after. And where do you find such a father as that? Who could stand up here and be the pattern for the father that we all need to follow? Where do we look for that person? Is there such a thing as a perfect father? Yes, there is. And today, let's see what we can learn about being a father by looking at God, who is the perfect Father. And the first thing that we learn from looking at God is that He loves His children. There are many passages of Scripture that speak of God's love for His children, such as, God demonstrates His own love to us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us in Romans 5. God did not wait for us to get good. He did not wait until we merited the right to be loved. God didn't wait for those kind of expectations. He did not wait for us to make Him proud. He did not wait until we measured up to His standard. He simply loved us, and He loved us first. He may be angry when we disobey Him. He may be saddened when we stray away from Him. He may be sorrowful when we sin and He sees the hurt that we're going through, but He never, ever stops loving us. There is nothing that we have done or nothing that we can do or nowhere that we have been that God doesn't love us just as much right now as He did before those things happened. God loves His children. And we are called as fathers to love our children, no matter what we experience in them. Here's the second thing. God is quick to encourage His children. God throughout Scripture encouraged His children. He not only encouraged them with His words, but with His presence and with His assistance. Sadly, many parents, no matter how spiritually or how conscientious they might be, they're prone to send messages to their children laced with criticism rather than encouragement. This is something I have fought with all my life as a parent, is to be able to say things lovingly without criticizing. And a lot of times when I was trying to say things for correction, I said it in the wrong manner and in the wrong way. I regret that. But it is important to watch our words. The Apostle Paul challenges us, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen, in Ephesians 4. And thirdly, just like a father, God disciplines His children. I read a story about triplets. There were three young boys, and as the boys grew up, they always got along together really well. They saw everything alike as triplets, and they were loyal to each other. If somebody got into trouble, they wouldn't tell on the other one. And a neighbor asked the father, he said, well, how in the world do you know which one to punish if there's trouble going on and you can't figure out which one did it because they all look alike? And he said, oh, it's easy. He says, I send them all three to bed without supper, and the next morning I spank the one that's got the black eye. And I think that's interesting. Now, I don't know about that method of determining the guilt or not, but it makes for a funny story anyway. But I do know this. God is good. He is a loving Father. He is a perfect Father. His intentions and actions are never evil. When we suffer and when we go through trials, it's not that God is trying to do something to us in some evil action. It's not unloving. He does it because He knows that's what we need. He needs to discipline us. God disciplines His children. He does not discipline in spite of His goodness. He disciplines because of His goodness. He does not discipline in spite of His love, but because of His love. In Proverbs 3:12, it says, the Lord disciplines those He loves as a father the son He delights in. The man who disciplines his children wisely is reflecting the character of God. We discipline because we love our children. It teaches them responsibility. It teaches them that wrong actions have negative consequences to help them to live rightly. God is a perfect father and a model that we should follow. However, we earthly fathers are not God. And we are not perfect fathers. Some of you have not been brought up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord by your father. And that is a regret. But now that you are grown, it's on you. No longer can you blame the way you are on your childhood or bad parenting when you are to be the man of your house. It's your time to provide for your family, to be the example that God expects you to be, and anything less means that you don't love. But here's the thing. Okay, I want to be what God wants me to be. How do I do that? Well, you can't. You have to surrender and let God give you the strength and the ability to do that. And I don't know where you're at this morning, but I do know that our Heavenly Father is waiting for you and for me to come to Him and let Him help us with what we need. Whether we have made mistakes as a parent or whether we have made mistakes as a wayward child, God is waiting for us to come to Him because He's got His arms wide open and saying, I know you can't do it, but I can. God does not limit His love or time or circumstances to when we can come home to Him. It's not a one time is better than another, but one thing is for sure. Today is the day. This is a time that God is speaking to us. That's why He sent His Son to pay for our mistake, sent His Son to make it right. This world needs Jesus. We need Jesus. I need Jesus. And that's my only hope. And God, our Heavenly Father, He's already made His desire known, and He's made the possibilities there for us to come home to Him today. Now, what are you going to do about it? Would you pray with me? Dear God, I just pray on this Father's Day Sunday that You will bless all the fathers in the world who have accepted the responsibilities of being a godly man and a godly parent. Guide them to be the role models to their children and to others. Let them look to Your example in order to be patient and to extend unconditional love and to show understanding. Oh God, forgive us with our failures. Would You make us new in Your love and in Your Son Jesus today as we come to You. For we come to You now in thankfulness for Your grace. And we pray this prayer to our Heavenly Father in Jesus' name. Amen.
Sometimes on this journey, I get lost in my mistakes. What looks to me like weakness is a canvas for Your strength. And my story isn't over, my story's just begun. And failure won't define me, 'cause that's what my Father does. Yeah, failure won't define me, 'cause that's what my Father does. Lay your burdens down. Ooh, here in the Father's house, check your shame.